Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are very excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Well, hello, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
Has it been a week already since we were in the studio? Time absolutely flies.
It's gone by very quickly. How has your week been? Did you experience any art this week?
Well, I experience art every single day. But yeah, it was a great week. I didn't get to go out and see any shows or anything, but I had such great conversations. You know, I'm always trying to find the next partnership or the next collaboration or how we can help. So I spent some time talking to the Upper Orlando team. And some neat things happening there. And so there's just, you know, lots of conversations about the art, but I didn't get to really to experience any shows or anything this week. How about you?
Okay. Yes. Well, an art show. Jason's a part. Jason, for everyone at home, is my husband. He is a
part. We love Jason.
I know. He's part of the Faith Arts Village Orlando, and otherwise known as FAVO. And on the first Friday of every night, the old Park Davis Motel on 50 and Highland opens all those rooms up into, well, most of them, into a small, each room is its own small gallery / studio. And the artists open their doors and all kinds of art. There's photography, jewelry, ceramics, Jason draws. And it was really wonderful seeing him in his room. His room looks beautiful. His work looks great. And I get
of course it does. He's a fantastic artist. Well, and you guys did a whole, you added more things now to FAVO, right? It's you've got performing arts going on. You've got food trucks, because I saw some photos of like, hey, it's that time. Come out and visit us. There's lots going on, right?
There is. There certainly music. When Fringe came, we had a Fringe act come out and perform for us. I like trying to get my buddies to come on out and make music there. Sometimes we do poetry readings in Jason's room too, which is fun. There's this one young girl who came, and she's really not as young as she used to be. When she was 7 years old, she had been coming to Jason's art festivals outdoors since she was five. She saved up her money and bought her first piece of art from Jason at age 7. She's now married, and she still buys work from Jason.
Wow.
She's got about 4 or 5 pieces, but at age 8, 10, she would come, and she'd look, and how much is that piece? And she would save her money, and he'd always give her a break. But to see her now with her husband, and it's just great to...
That's so
oh,
cool.
My gosh, I'm old. Wait a minute.
I would have to say, I've been able to get some beautiful pieces of art, but I would say Jason's piece that you gave me as a gift was probably one of the most special and most beautiful that I've ever received. Well, tell us more about the next FAVO is happening when? It's once a month, right?
Once a month. It's the first Friday of every month, and it is open from 5 to 9. And I can't imagine anyone coming that won't have a good time. Any age can come, and just go. And when you walk into the rooms, here's my advice to you. Every artist who creates has a story behind their work, and a lot of them are shy because they tend to work alone. So ask them, hey, what was your inspiration for this piece? Or ask them, what made you decide to draw this or paint this or make this? And just sit back, and they're delighted that you ask, because a lot of them, especially Jason, is rather shy. When I'm there, I kind of do that. Oh, folks, come on in. Every piece has its story, and Jason knows all about it and why and who it is, and he'll just look at me
so
like...
So you do a little improv right there in the room.
But
well, it's true,
fun.
Though, because every piece has a story to it and has emotions connected to it, and there's a reason, there's a core to why that artist drew that particular thing, and I think they do want to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
So ask.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of asking, we have lots of great questions and conversation to ask our guest today, who we are so very thrilled to have, Mr. Terry Olson.
Hey, glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And Terry, you are the Director of Arts and Culture for Orange County. That's your official title. But today, just to start this conversation, we have to say you just got back from Ireland.
I did.
That's super cool.
Yes.
Almost as cool as your job.
Seeing 4,000 years of public art. Everywhere, public art.
Tell us about that.
4,000 years.
Yeah. I'm speaking of Newgrange and Meath and another place where this art from 4,000 years ago, you know, they would decorate rock carvings, that kind of thing. But all over the country, at a crossroads out in the country, there's a big piece of public art from throughout the centuries, from very modern to the classical 19th century statues of people.
When there's intentional art, like the public art pieces and the statues and things, but then in European countries, the architecture itself is art, the cathedrals and all of those. I'm sure you experienced lots of that over there as well.
Sure, and looking at a cathedral from 800 with 150 different faces carved in different places, because those are the people that maybe gave money or whatever, but yeah.
Can you tell us about one of your wow moments observing some of the art that you saw?
Well, I'll tell you, we went to an evensong service at a couple different churches in Dublin, and at Christ Church, it's a very regimented service, and the choirs sing, and it's lovely and heavenly and everything. And then after they all process out, the organist goes into this jazzy piece that was like, whoa, he's really rocking out here on this huge organ in this cathedral with an incredible sound. So
that's amazing. I spent like 3 weeks in Austria. I went over to Austria, and it started out really as to learn more about Mozart and his birthplace in Vienna and all that. But I went to Salzburg and Graz and Innsbruck, and I experienced so much. But the thing I loved the most was singing in the cathedrals and experiencing those services. And it's just something you can't explain. It really is. It's really incredible. So I know we could do a whole show on your trip to Ireland, I'm sure. But so, you know, if you are listening in tonight, and we hope you are, as you're driving home, getting ready for a new week on this Sunday evening, if you know anything about the arts, you know Terry Olson.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you are listening and you don't follow the arts and culture community here in Orlando and in Central Florida. So we're happy to get for you to get to know Terry. So, Terry, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, for the last 15 years, I have been what I call Orange County's chief arts instigator. Created the Office of Arts and Cultural Affairs for Orange County. So I oversee the county's investment, which is between $4 and $5 million a year into our arts community, supporting over 50 arts organizations and artists. I also oversee the public art program. So when we build new buildings, we typically take 1% of the budget to commission art site specifically for that facility. And right now the convention center is undergoing a lot of renovation, so we've had quite a few projects going on there, some really big ones coming up, and others in the process.
You said once something about taking 3% of the first 4 cents of the tourist incentive program. Do we still take that same amount?
Yes, my office was created along with a funding source of 3% of the first 4 cents of what is now a 6-cent tourist development tax, or a tax on hotels and short-term lodgings. So yes, that's where that funding, the primary amount of it that we distribute to the arts, comes from. The state regulates that, so it has some certain criteria that are, for some people, tough to meet, but within the two areas, one is in promoting tourism, so cultural tourism, and the other for auditoriums and museums, capital projects.
All right, we're going to hear about that in just a little bit of moment, but I think I see someone coming in and their radio's on, but they don't realize that they are listening to 107.7 FM, and you're listening to myself, Mary Thompson Hunt, and my brilliant co-host, Joshua Vickery, here from the Heart. Terry, does that 3% of the 4 cents add up to enough that you can? It seems like it's pennies.
It seems like it's pennies. It is.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's a lot of pennies.
It's a whole lot.
It
of pennies.
It really adds up, huh? Is it? So, how are we doing?
Well, great. I mean, it's over $4 million a year. That 3% of the first 4 cents, because we collect, it's getting up towards $200 million a year in tourist development taxes.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, that's kind of the federal, not the federal, but the government side of what you do, the funding, all that. But you're also an amazing door opener. I think when you say you're the chief arts instigator, that means you're also a door opener. And because of Terry is the reason why we have this radio show, Mary, right?
You know, yes, it is.
We told the story on our first episode, but there was a journey of Terry opening doors from an amazing conversation that you had in Thornton Park that led us to this radio show. So, Terry, we thank you on behalf of so many, many artists for being a door opener and a and introducing people to partnerships and just allowing the arts to thrive. So I know that's a big part of your job too.
It is, and I'm really fortunate at that I get to do what I'm good at and what is the result of being here for many decades. I know a lot of people. I know the way things work. And so part of my job is you've got an idea, you want to do something, I'll be glad to talk to you. And I may suggest, hey, why don't you talk to this person? Oh, you should check out this. You might want to apply here, drive by this place, because of that kind of collective knowledge of being around for a long time.
Well, you said many decades. It's not that many decades, Terry, but you have been in the arts scene for a long time. How has Orange County, well, it's Central Florida, but Orange County specifically, how has it changed, the arts and culture changed, let's just say in the last 10 years?
Well, it's certainly changed in the last 30-some years that I've been here. In the last 10 years, that momentum has picked up even more rapidly, so change is happening, and we're really on a renaissance-type cusp of becoming that world cultural capital that happens when you have crossroads of the world. Mm-hmm. And when we have 68 million visitors every year, we are crossroads of the world. And when you are hiring thousands of trained artists to entertain those tourists and design the visuals of what they will see, then you start to create a community that can respond to all that cross-pollination of different cultures coming in and different people and basically the best thoughts from all over the world.
Mm. So, and you know, this is kind of a mecca for performers because of our theme parks and those types of opportunities. How have you seen the assimilation of all of those artists change the landscape since you've been in this culture?
Well, whenever the theme parks lay off a bunch of artists, the community gets an infusion. Mm. Mary,
you're welcome. I'm just sitting here. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That might be me.
Some people move on, but other people have found that this is a great place to live and they want to stay here.
Well, we're one of the most creative cities in our country, voted by many magazines now.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I love that how you said that if there is some changes in the landscape of the theme park industry, that those artists, if hopefully they will stick around and they will give back and, you know, become a part of the community. I mean, you probably, Mary, wouldn't be able to do all the things that you do now if you still had a full-time, which, you know,
that's
nice monetarily, but you're being able to create art in ways you've never been able to before.
There are a lot of ways we get paid in life, and it's not always in money.
That is very true. So what are the things you don't like about your job, Terry? I mean, not everything can be wonderful, right?
Or government takes time.
Government takes time. Give us an example.
Well, we've been commissioning artists. And then we've made the decision, there's paperwork to go through, they have to get a vendor number, that takes a while from one department, then we have to get a purchase order, and that goes through my other process, and then once you get the purchase order, get it to the artist, they have to submit an invoice, and then depending on what it is, if it's a contract for service, and there has to be a contract, and then contracting has to sign, there's lots of layers.
Yes.
Because we as a people don't trust our government. Mm. So we have people checking on people, checking on people, checking on people. And obviously there's accountability there, but it's also very inefficient.
Mm-hmm. That makes me tired just listening to it.
Yeah. The creative mind just goes, oh, that part.
Because before this, I have been an arts entrepreneur,
yes,
having my own company or being the executive director of a nonprofit where I can just sign a check and get it to the person and get things done like that. Of course, there wasn't really anything in the checkbook. Now with the government, there's a large checkbook there. It might take a year to get the check signed, but there is the ability to do more.
But you do it. And I'll tell you what, you are often the person people will say, he's the guy that gets things done. Mm. I heard that said about you, and I thought, what a nice compliment. And we're going to get to hear more about what you get done. And we want to hear about more of you as the artist, too, because I know that part of you as well. And we'll be coming back to all of you. My name is Mary Thompson Hunt. I'm with Joshua Vickery. Thank you for being here on Magic 107.7 FM. We are From the Heart.
Well, hello, listeners. Welcome back to From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM. We are so glad that you're listening tonight and maybe on your drive home or getting ready for another wonderful week of arts and culture. But hopefully you're listening every Sunday night to us and learning more about this great community and all the things that it has to offer when it comes to the arts. And I'm with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Thompson Hunt, and our very, very interesting, intriguing, talented, I could go on and on, guest, Terry Olson, who is the director of Orange County Arts and Cultural Affairs. And Terry, you are kind of like this wonderful gift that when we unwrap the bow, all of these stories and things that you've created, people, as I got to know Terry, and it seems like every piece of Orlando arts ties back to you in some fashion. Wouldn't you agree, Mary?
Just it's his trip to Ireland 4,000 years from now, they're going to go, there was Terry Olson.
Terry Olson created the Renaissance in Orange County. I totally believe it. But Terry, just tell us some of the things that you have helped create here in Orlando and in this community.
Well, I came here with SAC Theater, which we had formed in Minnesota and had been performing at Renaissance festivals around the country. But we came here, perform at Epcot Center for the first 7 years, and then created the SAC Comedy Lab, which still exists downtown Orlando today. In the process, then we looked around, and there was the Civic Theater, a community theater at the time, mm-hmm. and there was the predecessor to the Mark II Dinner Theater, a dinner theater, but really no repertory-type theater. So we formed the Orlando Theater Project, mm-hmm. and that had a 25-year life here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had performed at festivals a lot. I took a troupe of SAC people to the Fringe Festival at Edinburgh, Scotland. And then we started doing fringe festivals in Canada. And so we brought the Orlando International Fringe Festival to life here. So those are some of the main things.
Those are major.
Wow.
Those are huge
things.
Yeah.
Well, we're having Dave Russell on from SAC Comedy Lab next week, which will be exciting. So we can hear him talk all about how great Terry is, because I know he will. But
it's also fun. Early on, back there in the 80s, when I was here, I was on the Goals 2000 of the Chamber, and one of our goals was to create a new performing arts center. So it's fun that I've been able to see that come to life as well.
Yes.
And then in the 90s, when the Sentinel was doing some articles about the need for kind of a theater district or for the theater community to come together, I was fortunate to be able to help create the Downtown Arts District and look for space and find what's now the City Arts Factory and let that go off onto its own organization as well.
So, yeah, pretty much everything in Orlando.
Yes.
Pretty much everything. And he performs with Central Florida Community Arts, so I feel like you've touched that in some way too. And you've performed at Mad Cal and, the list goes.
Theater.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. You've been a part of every arts organization in some way.
I forgot to tell our listeners, I saw Terry perform with your last Central Florida Community Arts concert. Jason and I went, you were great. First of all, Jason got all excited when you came out. He goes, that's Terry. I'm like, I know. because I didn't tell him. But your voice sounded good. You were having fun up there. We enjoyed
it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Well, we were honored to have you. I tell you, you have to know that when the godfather of the arts community is sitting in your choir rehearsal, it can be a little intimidating sometimes. It's true. But then once you get past that, you feel honored that you're there in their presence.
That's so funny.
Yeah, the Godfather.
I guess that's a nice title.
I think when anybody wants to start anything, they want to get Terry's blessing, don't you think?
Now that you mention it, I guess so. here's what I want to ask you, Terry, because you are an artist, and yet now you're in a job where it's very left-brained, so to speak. How did the two help each other?
Mm. Good question.
Well, I've always been kind of both. Mm-hmm. In college, I majored eventually in theater, but I had started out in math and science. But after intro to calculus at 7:45 in the morning, that was not where I was going to go.
You started out a math and science major?
Yeah.
What were you going to do?
Well, my folks are both educators, so I figured, that's what all I knew was, I'll probably teach, but and I have done that. I taught for a few years at a junior college.
What'd you teach? Did you teach theater? Or?
Yeah, I was the theater department. the tech director, the mm-hmm. director, the mm-hmm. everything. Small college.
For those of you that are just turning in, we are listening to Terry Olson tell us about his life as an artist. And of course, we know we're learning a little bit more about him as our Director of Cultural Arts and Affairs here in Orlando. You're listening to 107.7 FM. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm with Joshua Vickery, and you're listening to From the Heart. So, Terry, you were telling us a little bit about 25 years of SAC and Fringe and also the Orlando Theater Project. There was another, the Civic Theater, but wasn't there another arts that you started here?
Well, I helped my wife create RS&C Productions, which this year we'll be doing the 20th annual production of Dickens by Candlelight, a three-actor version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol that's done environmentally well. The audience sits at tables having tea and cookies and maybe gets pulled into the action some.
Well, so 25 years for Fringe and 25 years for SAC. How long were you in leadership in some of these things? How long were you actually, but I know you're still supporting and involved in a wisdom and advisory way, but how long were you in leadership in some of these places?
I was involved with SAC for 21 years, helping, being one of the co-founders. My last title was Grand Poobah. And
so not Godfather, Grand Poobah.
That's Poobah. That sort of suits you.
I like it.
The Fringe Festival, I was a co-producer and producer for first 5 years. Orlando Theater Project, probably executive producer for the first 7 years or something like that. I'm not sure.
Wow. But there are 21 years with SAC. You know, I am exhausted after 5.5 years with Central Florida Community Arts. What's the key to being in leadership for 21 years?
Joshua, you can't do everything
at the same time. That's true. That is exactly right.
You
is that your advice
that,
to all
sir.
Of our learners? Oh.
Joshua, there's lots of things that can be done,
that's
but not
true.
Everything.
That's true.
Can
and you did
be
comedy
done.
And you did it well,
yes.
Right? For 21 yep. years?
Yeah.
And improv, comedy and improv.
Yeah.
What are some other lessons that you learned, though, in 21 years of leadership at one place?
Well, I think a basic principle for my life is that your life, the lifespan of your life is where you make an impact. So what you do today is just a little part of that whole. So as artists, we like to make an impact on our community. And the more you can think in terms of long-term, decades, the more impact you will have.
Mm.
And secondly, you don't make an impact unless you are connected to the rest of that community. In other words, if you're an artist and you just have artist friends and hang out with artists and are in that community, it's a small segment of our broader society.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you speak to people who aren't really into the arts, or, you know, they're the big sports fans, or they're the big mathematical geeks,
mm-hmm.
or they're just the couch potato kind of people? Do you have those kind of people in your home? Do you have conversations with them? Do you know what they think about? Do you know how to talk to them? I think that's really an important part of artists having an impact on their communities.
And how do you recommend artists cultivate that part of themselves? Because a lot of artists, as we said earlier, tend to be, they work on their own, especially visual artists, let's say.
So social connections. I was coming at it from the business angle. So I joined the Chamber of Commerce and I volunteered to be on committees, joined the Downtown Orlando Partnership. And went through Leadership Orlando, those business kind of circles,
mm-hmm.
and which has paid off a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now I can say, oh, you want to do that? You should talk to this business person because they have this resource or that kind of thing. So business-wise, like if you're an artist creating your own business, that's part of it. You got to help put on the Easter parade or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
To be out there,
put yourself out there
with people.
I had a chance to ask a few people questions for you a little bit earlier, and we're going to do that in just a few moments. But right now, I want to let everyone at home be reminded that you are listening to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt. I'm here with my brilliant co-host, Joshua Vickery, and thank you for joining us from the heart. So I made a few phone calls today and got a few questions for you. That's why I got you in earlier on the phone. I was hoping to get your assistant, and you answered. And you're like, well, can I do anything for you? No, thanks.
Just going to say hello.
See you later.
Yeah, hope you're well.
I figured you're asking him something about
fishy.
Me.
And
I
figured
I'll
fishy.
Tell you something about me.
And I figured, but it's okay. So Lisa Curtis, I asked the Sack Girls, what do you want to ask? She said, what is one of your favorite memories of a performance that you were in, and what is a memory you have of one of the worst performances you ever gave?
Oh, I'm interested.
Well, those would, I can think of two examples within a week of each other. Both of them in England, in Scotland, when I took a Sack troupe over and we performed at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh. We had one performance in, it was called Wireworks Playground. You come off the street through a little kind of tunnel through the building into this tiered courtyard, and there was apartments all around. And we did a show there that the place was packed. I mean, it's probably over 1,000 people and hanging out of windows and balconies. It was just, you know, every twitch of your eyebrow could get a laugh. And we also did performance down on the Mound, I think it's called, where there was lots of distractions. No one really cared. No one wanted to listen to us. It was painfully like pulling teeth. So
the worst and the best all in the same place?
Yep.
Minutes away from each other.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Do you have any other great questions,
well,
Mary?
There was another one that I actually liked, and this one is from Rhonda asked this one. Rhonda Day, who or what do you consider to be your sphere of influence?
Well, my sphere of influence is in the arts community, but as an arts instigator, or this morning someone called me arts butt kicker. They said,
I like that.
ABC. They didn't spell very well, but through the arts community and in my position currently, where one, we get to help put some resources of funds as well as whatever knowledge I can help, we can influence the rest of the community. But at the same time, it's not just that, because I'm there in those government circles and those business circles piping up for the arts, so that they're aware, and it's maybe not in the front of their mind, but and that allows us to have that kind of financial support. Orange County was part of forming United Arts back in 87, I think that was, and contributed $1 for every citizen to United Arts out of the general fund. That's like the real estate tax money. And did that up until the recession hit about 2006, and it's been less than that now. But the tourist development tax was designed to be in addition to that, because that goes to United Arts for general operating support, you know, helping organizations keep the lights on and pay for the janitor, those kind of things, which aren't very sexy for granting purposes. And people like projects. But there's a support system that needs to be there too. So that's what United Arts does, is helps with operating support. What was the question?
Your sphere of influence.
Oh, okay. So helping the government understand that, and helping funders, working with our business community. We've created in Orange County, kind of following some of the Main Street in Orlando program, a way to have people who want to put art on the utility boxes at intersections, that kind of thing. I mean, not that it necessarily wouldn't have happened if I weren't there, but because I was there, I was a resource. When someone wanted to do that, we could work through the government bureaucracy to create a way that you can do that. So now there's the START program, Street Art, START program. Here's what you do. If you want art on your utility box, you can do that.
Well, Terry, you are truly making a difference in our community. You do on a daily basis. We had Flor Maria Garcia, the president and CEO of United Arts, and she definitely mentioned you as one of those people who's constantly making a difference. And we are so glad we're getting to hear more about you and more from you and more about how we can get involved in the arts and learn more about the arts. And we're going to learn even more about what does the future look like here in Orange County and Central Florida for the arts, and why is it so important. So join Mary Thompson-Hunt, my beautiful co-host, and myself, Joshua Vickery, back here in just a few minutes on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to From the Heart. Thank you for joining us here on Magic 107.7 FM. I am Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here with my brilliant, kind, and gracious co-host, Joshua Vickery. Today, we are speaking with Terry Olson. We are so glad to have Terry with us. We're here because of him. Terry is the Arts Director of Cultural Arts and Affairs of Orange County. And Terry, I have a question as we start this segment off. It is from Diana Brune. She wanted to know, what elements make a couple, team, or company vibrant, cohesive, and driven and committed?
That's a great question because it talks about personal relationships as well as corporate relationships or artistic relationships, and I think it's all similar. So, first of all, a term that SAC uses is developing the trust fund. So learning to trust each other is an important part of that, and that means compromise. It means listening, being open, because if we go through life, and I see this so in our political season, if we are stuck on this is the way and this is right and then everything else is wrong, it's very divisive. And just coming back from Ireland, seeing their history over the years, when they have had that kind of rule that's been divisive, it's been awful. There's been bloodshed, and it's lots of people are. When they've had open, accepting, compromising kinds of leadership periods in their history, they've been able to grow and be one of the most vibrant spots in Europe. Mm-hmm. So when you look at, come back and you look at thousands of years of history, and you can see times of turbulence and times of peace and prosperity, the one thing that I got from Ireland is we need to not be divisive. We need to not be so, this is the way and you're wrong if it's not my way. Mm. And in our political world, that's a hard sell, but that's what we have to fight for, I think. So, and that relates to love. I mean, because you're not going to compromise with somebody you don't love. Mm. Obviously, love of a couple is different than the love you may have in a corporate, in your theater company or your musical organization. But that's got to be a basis of it. And then it's about love of self too, like thinking of greatness. If you don't think you're great, if you think that you're organization is not that great, you know, you're not going to be. Mm. But if you're striving for, we're at the crossroads of the world, we could be doing that and doing it better than they're doing somewhere else because we could do something new because we've got an infinite amount of creativity available to us if we use it. But we can just go along and kind of repeat what somebody else has done or do what somebody tells us to or not rock the boat. All these things relate to a relationship or an organization. Or we can, like, together, we are great. We can achieve. And if we're aiming at something way up here, we might not make that, but we're going to be getting a lot higher than if we didn't aim at all.
Wow. If you're just now tuning in and listening to us here on Magic 107.7 FM, with our guest, Terry Olson, I hope you were able to hear that advice because it was incredible. It really was. Putting the correlation and the parallels between a couple and arts organizations. But those are not just for arts organizations, but those are life lessons that you just gave free advice there. You gave our listeners. But it's really incredible to think about that really you do have to love yourself before you can love others or love your art or love those that you do art with.
With whom you work. And anywhere, not even just art. And that's why we're lucky to have you in our government, because the truth is we work harder and take it more personally when we want to please our friends with whom we're working. I think that's why arts companies sometimes come together and perform so well because we generally have that affection for each other, and it's more appropriate to share it, it seems, in the arts than in corporate America or perhaps in government. But the truth is, if I'm next to somebody and I care about them, I want to do a good job, and I want to help them do a good job because they're friends. Mm. Or I see them that way.
Well, and that just really shouts the importance of collaboration and working together. We talk a lot about that on this show. But you know, why is it important to collaborate in the arts community, Terry? And what are some ways that you've seen great collaborations work and help people?
Well, I think another principle there is related to collaboration is about experimentation and the opportunity, the welcomeness to fail. In a production, you could come in, a director or a conductor could come in, and this is what we're going to do, and force everyone to just be in that mold. And it might be an interesting production or concert. However, if you come in and have a structure as a conductor or a director or even in arts, visual arts, but you have some opportunity at the beginning to experiment and bring out the creativity of all the other people that are in there and try things, and some of it's going to fail, and that's fine. But also amidst that, there's going to be something great.
Mm.
The theater critic, whose name I can't think of right now, Harold Klerman, said that you're not going to have great theater until you have a great amount of theater.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a lot of things happening, some of it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
If you only have two things happening, or if you only have one vision, the chances are not as much that you're going to be great. And so I think the same thing as we were just talking about in relationships or in a company. If there's no opportunity for failure, no opportunity to try something new, you're just in a rut. With the companies that SAC and the Central Florida Theater Alliance and other organizations that I was able to involve with before I got into the huge bureaucracy that I'm in now, we tried not to have a top-down management approach where the guy at the top knows it all, has all the responsibility, and everybody falls in line. And so we were able to develop with SAC a brand new genre of this audience participatory theater that hadn't been done anywhere else.
Mm.
And it spread all over the world. We were able to create an arts district downtown where there hadn't been one, and people didn't think it could be. We were able to create a 10-day fringe festival in downtown in spaces that were falling apart when people said, I don't think that's going to work. But we had the opportunity to fail, to work, to experiment, to think great, to appreciate each other and move ahead. So those are principles that I had put out.
Speaking of thinking great, what do you see the future turning into for Orlando? What would you like to see here in terms of the arts?
I think already we're developing a reputation as a place that artists love to be. The Florida Film Festival, this is like the fine hospitality film festival of the world. The Dr. Phillips Center, the performers coming in are like, this is the place I want to perform. I want to come back and perform. And that relates to who we are. We're the hospitality center of the world.
Mm.
We're Orlando, the Orlando brand, the Orlando experience, like the airport has as its branding, relates to family and stuff like that. In the arts, we don't need to think of family as kiddos, but the family of humans. And so I would love for us to be the place where positive, life-affirming, loving, supportive, challenging, world-class visioning arts are happening. And then if that is true, it's going to spread around the world. And we're starting to have shows go from here to Off-Broadway or from here to the Fringe Circuit. We have music being composed here that's being done elsewhere.
We want to hear a little bit more about how our listeners can contribute and help in just a moment when we hear, first of all, who we are. I am Mary Thompson Hunt. That was real smooth, everyone, wasn't it?
You were just so caught up in the moment of Terry's great advice. That
you need to know I'm very moved by Terry today. I so appreciate you being here. But I do need to let everyone know we are 107.7 Magic FM. I'm with Joshua Vickery. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and you're listening to From the Heart. So, Terry, how can people support? How can people get involved? And what do you need? What do we need?
Well, involvement is important. Involvement not just to stay in our silo or on our sofa, but to get out and support each other. The artist community needs to do that. We need to buy each other's artwork. We need to purchase tickets to see each other's shows. And, I mean, Joshua, I know you're out all the time, as am I, and sometimes it's like, oh, I just want to stay home. But, yeah, you could do that, and sometimes you need to do that, but too many of us are staying home too much of the time. We need to support each other. So that's the basic thing. And those folks who appreciate the arts and like that we have it, and they may not even, I know one business leader in town said, you know, opera, it's not my thing, but I know we need to be a town that has opera. Mm. If we're going to attract the kind of corporations we want to have here with high salary jobs, they're going to want to have some of these cultural amenities. And that has been an interesting transition for our area over the last 10, 15 years, where when we try to attract a company to come here, their employees are like, Orlando? What's there? There's nothing there. To helping our Economic Development Commission have the tools to show what a cultural community we have and people going, wow, I didn't know. Mm. So...
Sometimes people will say, well, tickets are so expensive, and I always like to remind them, you can volunteer. All of the theaters, including the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts, have volunteers that come in and seat people, and then you can see the shows, and it's a great way to meet people.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And Terry, you were saying really about just how you're helping make people aware of how Orlando, landscape of Orlando is changing when it comes to the arts, and how really it is a destination and there's great quality of life here. And I know that's your vision for Orange County, is to bring more people here to experience that. But what is it that you still, I mean, you still have a lot left to do. What is it that you still have to do? What do you need to get done to make Orange County the arts and culture destination of the Southeast and maybe even the nation?
I have to do more?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not just the top boat, guys.
Well, my focus the last few years has been a lot around public arts, and that's been greatly increasing. But nothing like what I saw in Ireland, like I said. I mean, we stayed at an Airbnb on a pig farm, and they had a big sculpture there of a winged pig. It was very, I mean, on a pig farm, okay?
I love that.
We'll start working on it, Terry.
So, well, we don't have to have pig farms, but every walking down the street, and there's some benches, but I see that those benches, there's a structure kind of like a skeleton of a Viking ship. It's right down where the Vikings used to land. And it's just some pieces of metal, but if you look at it like, oh, those are like benches in the middle of this Viking ship, okay? It was just a little plaza kind of thing. That sort of thing. I would love for everywhere we look to be a place where you go, oh, why don't just take a second to look at that.
Mm. It's coming.
Unlike walking into this building, which is long hallways of puce
absence
walls.
Of art. Well, Terry,
come on, folks, get some art on the walls.
We know that you're going to lead the way for us and help us to continue to make this a great place. But thank you for all that you've done, really, for Mary and I personally, mm-hmm. For Central Florida Community Arts, and for SAC, and for Downtown Arts District, and for the Fringe Festival, and the list goes on and on. Thank you for being a champion for the arts in this community, and thank you for really helping to shape quality of life here in Orange County.
Yes,
I think you know that, but you need to be reminded of how much you've done here in this community. And so, listeners, we hope that you've gotten just a small glimpse into the heart and passion and incredible advice of Terry Olson, the Director of Orange County Arts and Cultural Affairs, and the Grand Poobah of the arts here in Central Florida. So, and I know Terry would want us to just talk about a couple quick things that are happening in our community, so you will go out and support it. And I have the honor of being on the host committee for the Central Florida, the World Ballet Competition out at the Convention Center that's happening this week. So if you want information on that, please go and check it out. And also we have several great theater shows happening still. The Fantastics at the Winter Park Playhouse and Avenue Q at Mad Cow Theater.
If you haven't gotten tickets, try. It's an incredible production.
Yeah, here it's selling out already.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we talked about it on the show last week, don't you think?
I'm sure that has everything to do with it. People stopped their cars at 11 that night and
and got those things, yeah.
And don't forget to check OrlandoAtPlay.com. OrlandoAtPlay.com. Everything and anything that's going around in our city that has to do with the arts, you can find it there.
Absolutely. And Mary, Terry, go ahead.
And if you live in Lake County, you next week will have two opportunities at two different theaters to see Young Frankenstein, the musical. 24 minutes away from each other. The Moonlight Players and the Bay Street Players both will have their productions of that one. See, we're a growing community. We can have two productions happening in Lake County just 24 minutes from
each other. I'm already starting to think what fun they could have putting them together somehow.
If you're looking for a Young Frankenstein weekend, there you go, right?
Yeah, I wonder which one's younger. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Please come back next week and go out and enjoy the arts. Buy some artwork. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt. This is Joshua Vickery, and we are From the Heart.
Have a great week.